it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Let the shenanigans begin.
What is the most embarrassing mistake someone has made at work? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, my mistake, actually, I was working part-time at a 7-Eleven. I worked overnight, so, you know, the crowds here and there, not too many people, but the few you get are kind of crazy.
Yep.
I got bored. I'm rummaging through all the drawers behind the counters, just kind of looking for something to do, something to play with, occupy my time. I found a little, looked like a finger button, looked kind of like a flashlight. It's got a little LED light on the front of it. When I pressed it, it glows red. I'm like, all right, cool. I pressed it a few times, play with it, throw it back in the drawer. And I don't know, 15 minutes later, a single police officer walks into the gas station. So me trying to be funny, I go, oh, haha, wasn't me, guy. And he looks at me real serious. He just kind of looks behind him and starts looking around. Four more officers walked in, fully loaded, bulletproof vests, AR-15s. I had pressed the silent alarm.
Oh my.
And how many times do you think you pressed it?
I couldn't hear you there.
How many times do you think you pressed it?
Somewhere between 5 and 500.
Okay. Jesus.
So they very silently had to search the whole store. They checked the beer cooler and everything, and just on the way out, kind of just were shaking their heads at me.
Now, when you were hired there, they never explained to you where it is or what it was?
No. No, man, not once.
I mean, wouldn't you think the point of having a silent alarm is, hey, if you're in trouble, here it is. That way you're not alerting the guy that's up to no good. And also, don't press it
now,
if you're not in trouble.
Does anyone find out about this? Or are you the only one who knows? Do they report that they were there to anybody? Or are you just able to let it slide?
I was very seriously talked to the next day.
So they did find out.
Yeah, there was a report that had to be filled out. I had to file some paperwork, and my boss was not happy.
Yeah, but
I mean, well, did you say, like, bro, you got to tell people what this is, you know?
And the other thing that deplored me was, I mean, why is it in the back of a drunk drawer?
I don't know. That's a little strange.
I mean, maybe there's keys to the register in there or
something. Or having it hid so it's not as obvious that you're pressing it, but not telling you is a massive mistake.
Yeah. I mean, that's the main thing.
Because you might need it for real one day.
That's my point. Right, like, you might need it. Well, I've told you years ago, my buddy Tony, his girlfriend at the time, very sweet girl, she worked at a bank, and she was a teller, and this is when people still went to the bank to get their money, and I guess this particular guy where things went sideways, he was a regular there because he's retired, so I don't know if it's every 2 weeks or once a month, but he'd go in there and get his pension check. And he's the kind of dude that when he walked in, they greeted him by name, and he would hang out for an extra 10 minutes just telling them about his day, right? He's that guy. And she'd been there maybe 2 weeks. So just understand, when I got home from work that day, I do not know what has happened, but she is sitting on the sofa. She's not actively crying, but you can tell she's been crying a lot for a long time, mm-hmm. and all the roommates are around her. Everyone's consoling her, and I'm looking at Tony. And Tony looks more annoyed, and he's just kind of shaking his head. Like, you ain't going to believe this. So finally, he explains to me. I'm like, what the hell happened to your girl, man? And he's like, she was at the bank. Old man comes in, cashes the check. He's as nice as he always is. And when he got to the front door to walk out, the ink pack exploded on his ass. All right. I mean, just boom. So this dude's covered in ink. Now he's locked in. The cops have to show up. Obviously, it was easily resolved, you know.
So one of the bills has this on it?
So I don't remember. And I'm sure maybe each bank does it different. In her case, I believe it was the top bill for each denomination, with the exception of ones, was the one that sets off the ink bag. So the idea was, and keep in mind, she had been trained on this. So it's when you give someone money, and I'm pretty sure it's either the top or bottom bill, but like, do not give them the top or bottom bill, because that's the one that activates the ink thing and sends this alarm off to the cops. So again, it wasn't just any particular customer. It is this guy that they know and love, and he's been doing this for years, and no one's the wiser. She hands him the money. She is specifically the person that counted out the money and said, man, when he got to the door, this stuff blew up. And it said he's like 78 years old at the time. Right. I mean, like, everything about it was bad. And then because it's the ink they use at banks, for obvious reasons, it's not like you can just wash it off. It's not like you just go home and clean up. Like, dude was blue for like a week.
Out there looking like Papa Smurf.
Now, here's the thing. When I heard this, Tony told me in a separate room. She's still in the living room being consoled. I'm above her in my bedroom. I laughed my ass off. And by the time I came downstairs, so I didn't say
anything. Were you getting mean mugged?
Oh, by everybody, man. They were like, we could hear you laughing. I'm like, no. Hey, look, man, I don't know what happened at your job today. I was laughing about something else. She's like, you know goddamn well what happened at my job today. I'm like, look, I'm sorry, man. I know you're upset, but that is
well,
that
he's
is
blue, but he, I mean, he's blue. That is funny.
I thought it was hilarious. She did not, but she kept her job.
All right, I was going to ask. I didn't know if you said that. Did she get fired?
She did not get fired, but she was no longer the teller. And when we would go there to visit her or pick her up after work, she was the person that greeted you at the door to ask if you wanted to open a new savings account or something. But yeah, they would not put her in the teller position again.
Email the guys at themensroom@mensroomlive.com and get you some Men's Room IPA beer brats. They're available now at Uli's Famous Sausage.
All right, time for low. Your guess is as good as mine. It's an easy game to play. We get a contestant on the line. You pick from one of two categories and see if you can get as many right in said category before three strikes and you're out. So who's ready to play? Your guess is as good as mine.
Hello, Ray. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hello.
Hola.
A ray of sunshine. Ray, your categories. Today we have the top 10 favorite national natural disasters. Actually, they are what Americans believe to be the scariest natural disasters.
Any of them.
Then we have the top 10 cities for the most expensive groceries in the United States. So, do we want to go groceries or do we want to go natural disasters?
Natural disasters.
Natural disasters.
Well, aren't you full of darkness? You said ray of sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the poll asked Americans, what's the scariest natural disasters? Ray, there are 10. Just try to get as many right in the category before three strikes and you're out.
Her name was Catherine. Natural disaster and terrifying.
Sounds like a hurricane.
You want to start with a hurricane?
Yeah.
That comes in fourth place. 33% of Americans said that was their scariest natural disaster scenario.
I think it depends where you live and how you know, in Maryland, we would get hurricanes, but we always got the remnants of whatever had messed up Florida or the Carolinas. Right. Never as bad for us as it was for them.
Yeah. But after watching that Katrina documentary that Ted turned me on to, it's hurricanes, some serious stuff for sure. All right, you're one for one, Ray.
All right, how about tornadoes?
Tornado is number one.
Yeah,
that is the scariest natural disaster. A tornado. 46% of Americans say they're terrified of it.
Do people just sit in their bunkers and just watch Wizard of Oz when there's a tornado going on outside?
Again, just one quick thing about Wizard of Oz. Dorothy's riding back to her house.
Yeah.
There's a fence, but the fence does not cover the entire front yard. She still opens the door to the fence as opposed to running around the side. And Mike, you pointed out, family doesn't let her ass in.
They don't. Yeah. She's literally pounding on the door. Let me in! And nobody actually opens the damn door.
Yeah.
Well, oh, no, we can't hear because of the storm.
Yeah, it's like the guy that was fly fishing earlier. Just like, good luck to you.
He's having a blast down there. Also, for the record, sometimes with bad hurricanes, they spark tornadoes inside the hurricane.
Yep.
That's some of the worst damage.
Yes, they do.
Isn't that awesome?
I've seen one.
Thank you, Mother Nature.
All right, Ray, two for two. Tornado hurricanes are correct. There are eight remaining. You have no strikes against you. What's your next pick?
Earthquake.
Earthquake is third. 35% of Americans are scared of an earthquake. Back
have
to the
not
Mariners.
Been through one.
Back to the Mariners. We got a better chance of getting an earthquake than the Mariners in the playoffs, did you guess?
I'd say you have a better chance of an earthquake than them winning a title.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Just get to one. So, Mike, I'm not trying to make anybody
feel
you're bad.
I know you're not, dude. It's fine.
It's just
it's
sad
their stupid fault.
You've been calling it all year.
I have.
I mean, it's not
I've
like
called it the last 2 years.
You've never been wrong.
They have the big presentation, and I get so excited. There's a heartwarming feeling every time the home opener, they open the door, there's the fireworks, and boom, they get the red carpet. And here they come, announcing each and every one, and I get jacked up. And every time I do, I think the same thing. I hate this team. I hate this team because these guys are going to break my heart in a few months.
You know the end of the movie, right?
Yes!
I'll tell you the end of the movie. I know you're going to watch it.
It's the Titanic.
No, it's not. It's Cal Raleigh in a Yankee uniform.
Yeah.
That's how this always ends. The best player. Sorry.
You're not wrong,
I know
Miles.
It stings. I'm just getting you ready.
The Yankees watch the good players and then overpay them
to be there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I love them, but doggone it, is the most toxic relationship in my life.
All right, Ray. 3 for 3. What's your next guess on natural disasters?
Primany.
How about volcanoes?
Ooh. How about volcanoes? Believe it or not, volcano is number 10. On the list. There are a few. The West Coast has them. Alaska has them. Hawaii obviously has them.
But I think
them.
It's different,
Oregon
right?
has them. Because but other than that,
Hawaii, right, their volcano's kind of always erupting. So unless something crazy happens, they're just used to it.
It's kind of a
when
slow
Mount
bubble.
When Mount St. Helens blew, like, nobody really saw that coming. Or the one in Iceland. Like, well, those are the ones that take you by surprise.
The reason they're number 10 obviously is based on the fact that geographically, most people, they don't know it at Yellowstone or wherever the hell that is.
Right.
But there's not a lot of volcanoes to look at and be scared of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not one of the most scary things in the United States because people don't have them.
Until they blow.
Exactly. All right, Ray, you're 4 for 4. 6 natural disasters left on the list.
Let's go with floods.
Flash flood is number 6. 26% of Americans, they are scared of the fact that there could be a flood, and they should be.
I'll tell you what, you're watching that Katrina thing, and it's more about the flooding than the hurricane itself. And I watched one of those, I can't remember the name of it on NBC, but basically, we are fight will to live, something like that. I want to say like 3 of them have been about flooding, and different, and all of their stories are freaking god awful just for how long it lasts.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Ray, I will tell you this. 1, 2... 3 of the remaining natural disasters could very well happen in Washington State.
Oh, I'm guessing that's got to be like avalanche, mudslide. Right.
I wonder.
Forest fires.
I like that idea. Let's go mudslide.
Mudslide. Mudslide's number 9. I mean, think of what happened just north of here.
Yeah.
And how catastrophic that was.
And you would not have thought about it until it happened.
Until it happened. Okay.
I'm guessing forest fires have to be up there, man. If you're saying Washington State would be privy to this kind of thing.
What about tsunami?
Fires.
Ooh, yes.
What did you say, Ray?
I agree. Fires.
You're going to go fires. Wildfire is number 5. That is 30% of the people. All right. So far, Ray, you've got number 1, tornadoes. Number 3, earthquake. Hurricanes are at 4. Wildfire, 5. Flood is at 6. 9 is a mudslide. And 10 is a volcano eruption.
So we're missing something pretty obvious here, and I wonder if it's just a docile one like thunderstorms.
We dealt with it last week.
Well, Ted chimed in with tsunami, and I thought about it too.
Tsunami?
Tsunami.
Tsunami.
Number 2.
Yep.
43% of people are terrified by the idea of a tsunami.
I would not have known until 2005. Indonesia?
Oh, yeah.
That was my first, like, when you actually see the devastation it caused. Like, holy crap.
Okay, Ray, here's the next hint. You have no strikes against you, but both of these phenomenon are caused by extreme weather. The two that remain. Extreme weather one way or another.
How about a lightning storm?
Lightning storm, not on the list.
But could be a blizzard, possibly.
Yeah, I was thinking blizzard.
Blizzard.
There
suck.
You go. That's got
to
be it.
You want to go to DQ? Okay, you got it. Number 8, a blizzard is correct.
Nice.
Butterfinger. Always go Butterfinger.
Oh, no, Oreo, sir.
Butterfinger.
Oreo.
Butterfinger. You get a Butterfinger blizzard?
You have the Butterfinger? I'll take the Oreo.
If you had a Butterfinger blizzard?
Yeah.
You know you can put 2 things in there?
Really?
Yes, you can.
Shocking.
Yes. How about that? Okay, there's 1 left, Ray. 1 strike against you.
Shocking.
How about...
It's a wild world we're living in.
What's that?
It just happened in Arizona. The dust storm.
The haboob.
Oh, the haboob. The haboob is not on the list. The haboob shows up in spot number 13. The reason being that only down there are people really exposed to
right.
that. So it's not the scariest thing for a lot of Americans. But you're in the right area of the country for the one that remains.
Oh, what about just drought?
Drought.
Drought.
You know,
it's not a bad call.
It causes flash floods.
Not bad. I'm going to go with it. Drought.
You're going to go drought? You got it. Knocked them all out.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
10 for 10. Heat wave and drought. So there you go. Here are the 10 scariest natural disasters. At number 10, we've got a volcano eruption. Mudslide at 9. 8 is a blizzard. 7 is a drought or heat wave. 6, flash flooding. 5, a wildfire. Hurricane is at 4. 3, earthquake. Tsunami 2. And the number 1 scariest natural disaster, that would be a tornado.
Yep.
As 46% of Americans say they are terrified of those. All right, coming up at 5:08, we'll drink and toast with a shot of the day. You are listening to The Men's Room.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Send the Men's Room a mushy love letter at themensroom@mensroomlive.com and scoop up some delicious Men's Room roasted red salsa at your favorite store.
We've gotten in trouble. Other people have obviously gotten in trouble.
Sure.
There was a time where we were sponsored by the Shot of the Day by Aja Toro Tequila.
Yeah.
Now, one of the nice things about Aja Toro is they actually gave us tequila.
It was good tequila.
It was good
and
tequila.
And they gave us bottles of it. So we had this stuff in our office, and we would do it for the Shot of the Day. Well, we get back in from a weekend, I believe a Monday, come in, and our bottle of tequila is gone.
Yes.
We had one left, and it's gone. I mean, it's just, it's gone. And we're like, well, that seems funny.
We didn't drink.
It's one thing to come in and do a shot or have a drink. It's another thing for an entire bottle of tequila to disappear. this thing is gone. Gone. So we find out where it went. It went down the hallway to another radio station. Yeah. And the person who was doing the overnight show decided that they were going to get into the tequila, I believe. Now, I don't know exactly what happened. I know they definitely either fell asleep, passed out.
They passed out.
I don't know if there was dead air all night. I don't know the circumstances behind it. I know that when whoever came in the morning, they're the first people to discover what was going on.
Yeah.
So that was one. I'm not sure that person, I don't know if they kept their job or not. I believe they did not.
They did not. But my understanding is the guy that stole the tequila and got drunk overnight, and he was not on air. He's running other stuff, but like he passed out behind the board. But when his relief showed up that morning, instead of reporting it, they too started drinking tequila, remember? And then they got hammered. So basically, right.
And at some point, they left the studio and went to the hurricane.
Right. Oh, so, is that right?
They got hammered, effed up everything, and then took their hammered asses to a bar to continue drinking. And look, I love the spirit. That's badass. But also, they were unemployed. That's the downside of that. And my big thing was, I don't care, man. They stole the tequila. I remember saying that to Hair Club. I was pissed about that. I was hot.
Yeah.
Like whatever you decide to do on your own, that is your business. Don't drink my tequila to get drunk, because now I don't have tequila.
Mm-hmm.
And you lost your – like, we both lost here, man.
Yeah. And I still go back to the story of the football that we have back there on the desk that I stole from Waste Management.
Yeah.
Just a little tiny toy football. Going to a brand-new studio. They just built these things. There are four different radio stations that are on the same floor. The sprinkler system is in an older building. But it has been redone. It's a brand new everything inside this building. So we get these little tiny miniature footballs. And I believe at the time it was the Baltimore Stallions, a CFL team, believe it or not.
What a title.
They won the Grey Cup, the only team from America to win a Grey Cup.
As I say, put that in your
trivia.
Thank you.
Brain, whatever.
I was going to say your gullet.
Yeah. So we get these First Mariner Bank, little Baltimore Stallion footballs in honor of the Grey Cup, the championship, all this stuff. They're awesome. You just play with them, whatever. We're throwing them around, and a guy I'm working with, not the best athlete, so to speak, he takes the ball and he throws it, and it hits a sprinkler system, and the sprinkler top comes off, which basically sets off every sprinkler on that floor in a brand new. It's rain. Very few people. I cannot explain the severity unless you've seen a sprinkler system go off. It's like using a fire extinguisher. Until you've done it,
yeah, you don't know.
You don't know, and until you've been in it and seen it, it's impressive. Like it really works.
Yeah,
but it works
better when there's a fire.
You wish your shower was like this. You know, it's incredible how much it's everywhere. It covers everything. The perimeter of this thing, like just it's insane. I mean, you feel like you just walked into a hurricane.
Yeah,
that's how bad it is. They finally get this thing shut off after about 2 to 3 minutes, but the top of that thing had broken off. So the one in our studio continued to drain the rest of the water that was in those pipes because that was still open.
Right.
Yep. If that makes any sense. So now that's pouring out like a garden hose. I mean, that's coming out. And this is a big building, and there's a lot of water in those pipes, and it probably took another 2 to 3 minutes. We were grabbing whatever we could find, like waste baskets to catch the water.
Yeah.
And then we were trying to run them outside and throw them out real quick. We had almost like had a chain gang going of people running in and holding the bucket. And when it filled up, someone would take it outside because we were just trying to keep as much water as we could off of the board.
Yeah.
So that basically, we were not on the air as a show in that studio for about a week. We were put on temporary leave, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then we came back in and we worked out of a different studio until they got everything fixed. But that was one of those things where, like, I cannot believe I just probably lost my job because of this idiot.
But you didn't. You didn't. And look, I've been suspended a few times. I don't remember why we got suspended, but the day they suspended us for something, I don't even know if we were responsible for it, because in Baltimore, they blamed us for everything, period. If anything went right, if you divorced your wife, then we were sleeping with her, right? That's how they angled everything. But they suspended us. I don't remember why, but we were real cool during the meeting. And when they did these meetings, you know, it's always this corporate thing. There's a corporate witness. Blah, 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 blah. This is why you guys are in trouble. We're going to put it in your file. Blah, 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 blah. And they go through all the crap and they're done. And then, you know, they give you the opportunity to speak. And I remember same boss, Bill Pascha, you know, hey, I hope you guys learned a lesson from this. And Miles is the one to say, bro, it's unseasonably warm outside. It's like 75 degrees and it's a Friday. Like, peace.
Yeah, we're out.
We are out.
Goodbye.
We went straight to the bar. We're like, this is awesome.
Yeah, we went to a Russian bar.
Yeah.
And at the time, they had this beer that was like 8% from Russia. I don't know what in the hell it
was. Didn't matter.
But we, you know, at that point in time, we're drinking Miller Lights.
Yeah.
Beer was not where you got, we would find other ways to get drunk. Beer was not the vehicle.
Yeah.
I mean, Baltica?
We would get a...
Was that maybe a prominent Russian beer with 8% alcohol?
I believe so.
Okay, then that's probably...
Baltica number 9, extra.
Okay, so they had this stuff.
It is extra, comrade.
And I mean...
Beer drinks you.
Drinks you.
That stuff hits you fast.
Yes, it does.
We were juiced pretty quick on that.
Pretty sure I had a Russian accent by the time we were done. Ooh, comrade, I go home.
Then we went to Jiffy Lube, and then we went to the bar.
Yeah, it was great.
That's how that day went down.
The only one I still feel bad about... was when I was working at a basketball camp, right?
All right.
So keep in mind, I mean, I'm only 19. But, you know, this summer, all these kids had the same kind of Nike watch.
Yeah.
It was super cool. It was like, you know, it was probably, this is what, early 2000s? So it was probably like 50 or 60 bucks, which is expensive. But like, a lot of kids had them. So one kid had lost his. It's the last day of camp. Most parents have gone. I also have one of these watches in my pocket. Right. And I'm one of the security guys. So this other kid is like, this kid's like, hey, I lost my watch, blah, blah, blah. So I take the other security guard. I walk around the corner. I go, I don't know if this is his, but like almost all the kids are gone. And there's an engraving on the back of this one. So I take my keys out, pop the engraving off. It's just stuck on there. Give the watch to the kid. He goes on his way. I'm the hero.
All right.
For about 3 hours.
All right.
Then we get a phone call. And I do not use the name. It was a, we'll just say an ex-NFL player.
Okay.
It was his mother. His mother had given this to the grandson, grandmother. No. Like, you would know the name if I said it.
His grandmother dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know these people?
Everybody would know them.
Okay.
All right. But there was no.
Did you there was say no way. Anything at all to anyone?
To the other security guard, I said, I don't know who that other kid was that has the watch. We do not bring it up. That was, yeah.
What did you do with the engraved part?
I think I just tossed it out.
Really?
Well, the thing is, it was just like they had, you know what I mean? It was like engraved, but they had put it on the back of the watch. And again, all the kids are gone. Dude. This kid's in tears. I got this other extra watch that looks exactly the same.
But it's not the same.
But it's not. I thought I was, again... I felt great for about 3 hours. I'm the hero of the day. Just like, here you go, kid. Be on your way. And then when that family called, and then because the father was an ex-NFLer, obviously the camp was like, we need to put a little focus on this. So I told the other security guard, I think finally I told somebody higher up that just like, we need that watch is gone. And they were like, how do you know? And I was like, you know, I just know it. Just, I know. We're never going to find it. You got, and look, I still feel bad about it. Now, I'm sure that kid's fine now.
Are you sure?
I'm not. But I no, I'm absolutely not sure he's okay. But I don't think it changed the trajectory of his life.
Right. Need to learn more about general men's room shenanigans? Just visit the men's room page at KISW.com. This is the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Time to open wide and sample Ted's meat and potatoes. Now, here's your host, head chef of the men's room, the Ted Nugent.
Head chef now.
Thank you, folks. Thank you. Thank you. Good to see everybody out here today. Now, you can make a lot of things in a kitchen, but I think one of the most ubiquitous things that everybody loves, potatoes.
Potatoes, yeah.
You like potatoes in the morning?
Yeah.
Right? Hash brown?
A potato pancake, preferably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sir, yes or no? Do you like potatoes in the morning?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. That's why I said just preferably.
Hash browns, hash rounds, mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff, right? I feel like lunchtime, usually going to be a bag of chips if you're having potato products.
Mm-hmm. French fries. Yeah.
During the week lunch. Weekend lunch, you get a little wild. There might be potato salad. And then nighttime, potatoes thriving.
Yeah, potato whatever.
I would also say potato salad is arguably, if that counts as a salad, that's got to be the best salad out there.
Well, do they count as shrimp salad, chicken salad, potato salad, pasta salad? It's not that I don't eat salad. Fruit I don't salad. Eat the leafy ones or fruit ones.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
A fruit salad?
Yeah.
Yummy, yummy.
A fruit salad.
It would be nice to be like, all I eat is salads. It's like, dude, you're gaining weight. It's like, well, yeah, it's chicken salad.
Yeah, chicken salad.
Pasta salad. So back in August, we had National Potato Day. And a new poll looked at the most popular homemade potato dishes.
Okay.
This one's a little interesting to me. So think about homemade potato dishes. What do you think you actually make at home?
I mean, outside of the holidays, pretty much nothing.
Mashed potatoes.
Once in a while, like I said, holidays we do mashed potatoes. Maybe three times a year do we actually do baked potatoes. And then we say the same thing you say. Yeah. I can't believe we don't do this more. And we still don't, right. But they're tremendous.
So the air fryer with frozen french fries. That's probably the two. All right. Mashed potatoes, holidays, frozen french fries.
So mashed potatoes is number one. Yeah. They just have the top four here. Number two on the list is potato salad.
I will do that on occasion.
It's hard to make.
I feel like my mom used to make it at least like once a month.
My wife and I generally, we will divide and conquer on that. Like, I just don't feel like boiling potatoes and cutting them. So she's like, I will do that, and then you hook it up.
I just like the southern, more Amish style, more yellow.
Yeah.
Instead of the German potato salad, which is more of a clear vinegar base.
Right, there's like normal potato salad to me that's just mayo, and then I'm with you. I like the mustard kind of, I like mayo in there too, but add some mustard.
Yeah.
Right, and then, the German style is like.
More vinegar.
Right, just like a
vinegar.
Just
a little bit of celery.
Yeah. But potato salad's great, and during the summertime, you'd be shocked. Some of the store-bought stuff's really good.
It is.
You can't go wrong with it.
And Kroger's
it's
got it.
So easy.
There's a deviled egg one that's pretty good.
Coleslaw. Oh. Macaroni style. Just grab all three.
All right. So, mashed potatoes, number one. These are homemade potato dishes. Potato salad, then. Baked potatoes.
Hell yeah.
Sure. Easy to do.
I'm with you. Again, it feels like, I don't know, if you're grilling steaks, sometimes you wrap that potato in foil and throw it up there. But I can't tell you the last time I baked a potato in my kitchen.
Because I feel like when you have a baked potato, almost to your point, it's like it's going to go with something else. Like, I have the steak. Oh, a baked potato would be great. Mm-hmm. But like Miles said earlier, if you dress it right, it is a meal.
Also,
man, you know, bacon, cheese, sour cream,
potato,
green onions, you name it.
The air fryer will save you about 15 to 20 minutes on a baked potato.
Yeah, 100%.
So like you could do it about 35 minutes, depending on the size.
Sometimes too, man, I like to get just like the little red potatoes.
Yeah.
You chop those up, man. Throw them in a frying pan and just kind of brown them up.
Done that a few times. Yeah. I'm just thinking baked potato now. We got NFL football Sunday, so I'm thinking. Because for whatever reason on Sunday, particularly during football, even something that quote-unquote takes forever to make, right? So you'll fire up the crock pot. You'll do the baked potato. Because for whatever reason, I don't mind waiting for food on that day. So I might do some baked potatoes.
Well, generally, you're snacking on something beforehand.
Yeah, this is correct, yes.
Last on the list, by the way, they had breakfast potatoes or hash browns.
I've never done them homemade.
And you know
I mean, I've done them at a restaurant, but like I've never done them at
home. You missed the goat.
What's that?
Potato skins, man, done right. I mean.
But homemade?
Well, if you do them right. You could do them in the air fryer. Well, ideally, you need a deep fryer. But, I mean, you can get away with really good potato skins.
I love potato skins, right? And I will buy them frozen. I'll buy them in a restaurant. Yeah. I don't know that I've ever been to somebody's home and they said, hey, I handmade these.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you?
More like the strips. I made them before.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
It's a process. Awesome. Like, twice baked potatoes are great. But you got to scoop all that stuff out.
You do. And then you make mashed potatoes the next night.
Yeah, and then get it going in there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, potato pancakes. Isn't that what a laki is?
Yeah.
In the Jewish faith.
Oh, my God.
Faith?
So good.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff's all great. Also, I mean, just potato chips.
The standard.
The standard.
Yeah.
Right? They also looked at regional dishes that are from potatoes that are popular in certain parts of the country.
Now, when you say dish, that strikes me as homemade, right?
This is state by state.
Right.
So this is just kind of like a... Right. So think of not just potatoes, but something that involves potato in it.
Okay.
Number one on the list, Mike and I absolutely love it. Miles hates it. And it's massive in New England.
Scalloped potatoes.
The dish. There's other stuff involved.
Oh.
Ooh.
I don't know.
You and I love this one.
Right. Miles hates it. I think Thrill hates it too, because there's peas and carrots involved too.
Oh, shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie!
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir. It's been a minute since I made a shepherd's pie, but doggone it, I know what it is in Washington,
I bet. Clam chowder. I'm just thinking.
No, you're right. Those are a potato.
That's got to be.
Well, yeah. The West Coast one's weird. By the way, Thrill, real quick, difference between a shepherd's pie and a cottage pie. Explain it to him.
The shepherd's pie specifically has to have, is it lamb or beef?
Lamb.
Yeah. So it's the shepherd's pie, specifically lamb, and then the cottage pie is something that's
usually
not lamb.
Usually beef, yeah.
Usually beef.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be beef.
Miles, you brought up the West Coast, so here's a weird one. West Coast loves potato tacos.
I don't think I've ever had a potato taco.
I mean, I've had the little cheap one. You get a Taco Bell. But Gen Z likes potato tacos. I'm guessing
is it
maybe
like diced potato in it, I guess?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
So you don't like the...
But now Taco Bell, you just get the french fries, right?
But is it diced potato and then typical taco stuff that goes in there?
So correct.
Tomato, lettuce, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, a little chipotle sauce on there.
Okay. Mm. I mean, it sounds good.
Think of like you've been to the bars and they have tachos, right?
Yes.
Which is nachos on tater tots. Just shove all that in a tortilla and you have a potato taco.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's see. Mid-Atlantic states like Pennsylvania and New York. What do they love, Miles? You grew up eating them.
Potato logs?
Pierogies.
Pierogies, yes.
Remember, we're going dishes now.
That's right.
Dishes.
Okay.
Pierogies are good, man.
They are awesome.
And filling.
They say in the South, people like potato soup. Okay.
I don't dislike potato soup, but the thing about the South is it's always hot and humid. That is the last thing I'd want to eat in the South.
The lady and I were on a potato soup kick for a little while there. You throw some cheese in there. It's not bad. Yeah. Pretty good. Throw a little hot sauce in there.
Yeah. It's fine.
Exactly.
I just feel like potatoes are kind of like the soup supporter. They're not the star.
It's one notch above scalloped potatoes.
Okay. Damn.
Well, I'm just saying.
My bad. Is gnocchi anywhere on this list, I wonder?
No. No. It's just not.
Okay.
The Midwest.
Screw me then.
They're big on potato casseroles and potatoes au gratin.
All right. Well, okay. I mean,
I make a mean tater tot casserole.
Oh, do you?
It's literally called like cracked or tater tot crack casserole.
What's the layers on top?
It's all mixed together, man.
Oh, okay.
But there's, you know, a ranch packet, cheese, bacon bits.
Oh,
I only make it around the holidays because you can feel your like stuff on the inside dying.
You can feel your heart stopping beating.
Right.
But is it the star of the show when you take it someplace?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kicks ass. Texas and surrounding areas. They just like potato salad, like the barbecue culture.
Yep.
Potato salad's there. Let's see. Rocky Mountain states, they keep it simple with mashed potatoes and baked potatoes. I know the West Coast loves potato vodka. Potato tacos?
Hell yeah.
Potato vodka's pretty good.
Gen Z's into potato tacos. People over 65 don't eat them. They don't eat tacos, period. Just 58% of Gen Z'ers like mashed potatoes, but boomers love a mashed potato.
Yes.
So, hey. Potatoes, man. Go eat some.
Thank you, Head Chef. We appreciate it. And thank you, guys, for checking us out on YouTube.
Yeah, man.
Well, for your viewing pleasure right now, we are up at KISW Rock.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Reach out to the Men's Room on the socials at Men's Room Live and enjoy the new Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing.
Hello, Justin. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Justin, are you sober or not sober?
Sober, just clocking out.
Do you actually clock out?
Oh, yeah, doing it right now.
What is it, a punch card or how they do that now?
Oh, it's an app.
Okay, all right. Okay, our men's room.
Of course it is.
Yeah, everything's an app.
Jesus,
one more app. Never do. By the way, download the Odyssey app. You can listen to us anywhere, anytime.
Now, that's an app that's worth doing.
Yeah, it really is. What will you never do again? Make your bed, take out the trash, vacuum, or fold laundry?
Oh, cheer. I got two kids under the age of 7, so fold laundry.
Laundry it is.
Yep. Two kids under the age of 7. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. 3 and 6.
Ooh. Ooh. How hard is it to cook dinner?
Oh, yeah. Nearly impossible.
I was going to say, there's no way a 3-year-old... And a six-year-old.
Dino nuggets, bro. Look, man, don't complicate it.
But you're still
Don't try to make them healthy. Don't try to introduce them to new stuff. Because all you're doing, you're fighting a losing battle, and you know this, man. Just do some freaking dino nuggets and give them some applesauce and just call it good.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, it's too much. It is too much. All right.
That's why the air fryer is like the most used thing.
Brother, you are not wrong. Especially with kids that age, the air fryer is a godsend.
Oh, and when you put those dino nuggets in an air fryer, I mean, that's just classing it up.
Hey, say what you want. They're really good.
They're good in the oven.
I mean, seriously.
They're good in the oven.
I was laughing about them, then I took a bite, and I'm like, these are actually a superior
nugget. I think everybody just likes nuggets.
Yep. That's really what it comes down to. All right, here's your question. Multiple choice. Liquor, beer, weed, or narcotics? What does a zythologist study? A zythologist.
Oh. Let's go narcotics.
I want to go liquor. Beer. Beer.
A zythologist.
I have a couple of beers. I want to see them thighs, too.
That's exactly where they got the name from, yes. All right, your question. What do tourists... called the Vieux Carré. The Vieux Carré. It's a section of a city.
Oh, let's see.
You've been there, Ted.
Oh, dope.
Miles, you and I have been there. We were there together. Okay. I lived in this city for a while, so I spent some time there. Mike, you need to go there.
Okay. Just to eat.
Yep.
All right. Oh, my.
Any guesses?
Just to...
Great place to eat.
I was going to say Times Square, but...
Food there's kind of trashy, actually.
Nollins?
In this case, that would be the French Quarter.
Yeah. The French Quarter.
Like Times Square. Like that's Sparrow and all that stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, Times Square is that.
You've heard of everything in Times Square. Okay, right. You've heard about a lot of the things in the French Quarter.
They almost have that just as an advertising thing, just to have that location, I guess.
It is. Like, everyone that lives in New York will tell you, like, we don't go to Times Square. We just don't. There's nothing. They don't have a problem with it. That's just not where you go if you live there.
I'll be dead honest. Last time I was in Times Square, I had lunch on Fridays.
I mean, look, dude. I love Times Square. I do. I really do.
There's an NFL superstore or NHL superstore. Like, I'd never seen that before, and I don't even like hockey, but I was like, sweet.
I'm going in.
And then I was like, oh, man, there's a Fridays. Let's go.
Yep. I had pizza at Sbarro's, though. I could not believe how much it cost. I was used to mall prices. A little different in Manhattan. All right, your question. During which month is the longest day in the Southern Hemisphere?
Tricky.
Ooh. Is it?
Yeah.
yeah, it is.
Yeah, dude.
Let's see here. Would that be in December?
That's where I'm thinking.
Boom.
Okay. Yeah.
Very good.
It's not so tricky that Justin couldn't get it.
Yeah.
Well, he's a smart dude.
Yeah, that Justin. He's super smart. Super smart.
They're going into summertime right now.
It's springtime right now, man. Yeah.
Not wild.
I know.
Game is Big Dummy, 206-803-ROCK.
The faucet hadn't turned on. You don't have to sound that bad. No,
I know. I like spring and summer. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I like summer and fall.
The temperatures have gone from 84 now to 94.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It never really gets cold there, does it?
Yeah. Well, I think it depends on where you are in the Southern Hemisphere.
Well, I'm just thinking Australia.
Well, like in the summertime, you can go skiing down in Chile.
Yeah, but I don't like to ski. I'm not a sales pitch. Hello, Levi. Welcome to the men's room.
Go to Chile.
Hola.
Hola.
Levi, are you sober or not sober?
Sober.
Sober, Levi. Welcome to a Big Dummy.
We're going on vacation to go skiing in Chile.
Get in, losers. We're going skiing in Chile.
We're hopping a plane.
Levi, what will you never do again? Make your bed, take out the trash, vacuum, or fold laundry?
Snowbirding in Chile.
Laundry.
Okay. It seems to be the popular winner today.
Yeah. Yeah. Because everyone has folded laundry. God, the worst to me is you just move out of your parents' house, it's laundry day, and you go to the laundromat. That, to me, was the single worst experience of not living at home. I hated the laundromat.
Yeah.
You wore multiple times. Things you could.
Just not to not have go to there. Go to the laundromat.
God forbid. August is prime month for skiing in Chile.
August.
I'm dead serious. Right, well, like, if you know it. Ski bums, they're snow, whatever you call them.
Snowbirds.
Yeah. They will go to Chile.
Really? Are you just lying to us now to justify this? Or?
Ted bought a timeshare down there.
That's
now
what it sounds like.
What's going on? Is there direct flight?
Guys, I'm just telling you, let's go skiing in Chile.
You could own a little piece of a big property down there in Chile.
Who do you know that did this?
I think my buddy Eric did it once.
Okay.
Man, the skiing in Chile is next level.
Here's the thing, Mike. If you spend two weekends out of the year down at my place in Chile, it's already paid for itself.
They have some of the highest mountains.
My God.
And you can trade it with the Disney Vacation Club people.
That's what.
It's tradable. It's
Disney Chile.
Disney Chile.
All right.
Come visit me in Chile.
The happiest place in the southern hemisphere.
On these part of Earth. All right, Levi, your question.
Come for the ski.
In the world of computing, what does HTTP stand for?
Hyper something.
Well, at least you got hyper.
Yeah.
Hyper Text Transfer Protocol.
Yep.
I'm not even sure what that means.
Do you need that anymore?
They
basically have eliminated that, right? From needing to type it into the search bar.
I don't know.
It seems that way. Because it used to have to do that.
Oh, you mean actually the letters themselves?
Right. Yeah.
No, it used to be you had to put in like www dot. Right. Now you just hit the first letter and it's like, you've been here. Let's go back.
Here you go.
All right, your question. What band recorded the song Lion Eyes?
Oh, Jesus.
What?
I'm just so sick of hearing about it.
I thought you loved that band.
I like the band. I'm tired of this story.
But the story about the song?
The story about the song.
Yes.
I don't know anything about the story of the song.
The story about the song.
Well, let him answer.
All right. Now, this band is named after a bird.
The Eagles?
Boom.
You got it.
I'm thinking of the wrong band.
Are you
serious? Oh, no way.
Who are you thinking?
Whatever the song is with Fleetwood Mac and their...
Oh. Yeah, no.
They're together, but they sing it on stage, and they're just like, they hate each other.
Going their own way.
They didn't put it on the album, but it's the most popular song.
Yeah, different band, man.
Yeah, I know.
Way off.
No, I sound like an idiot.
Because I'm like, what is the story behind Lion Eyes?
I think she cheated on
I know.
Oh.
Game is Big Dummy, 206-803-ROCK.
Email the guys at the men's room at mensroomlive.com and get you some Men's Room IPA beer brats. They're available now at Uli's Famous Sausage.
Have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve a Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast the Cornwall Wildlife Trust of Cornwall, England. And as the name suggests, the Cornwall Wildlife Trust, they are focused on the conservation of wildlife. And one of the tools they use is trail cams, which is not so unusual. But that way they can observe animals and their habitats. And recently, one of the trail cams captured footage of a beaver at water's edge, just doing what beavers do. But this is what they observed. And if you ever want to be a shot of the day, this is all you have to do. Yeah, that's right, the old double fart from the beaver.
Huh. Beaver fart. That sounds like a shot.
It really does.
There's
it
a
is.
Duck fart. But there should be a beaver.
I'm thinking the duck fart. Yeah.
It should be a beaver fart.
So the beaver fart, but again.
A shot.
I just like the
term beaver cam.
Beaver cam, yeah. The beauty of this is, after the beaver farts.
Don't Google it.
That's an OnlyFans page.
It disappears.
Don't Google that.
Like, it's on camera, it farts, it looks at the camera, and then rolls out. Like, that's my kind of beaver, you know?
It's just a video of the tunnel for Oregon State football.
Beaver cam.
Beaver cam. So we pour this booze, and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue, down the throat, party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitch, hola.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Aw, man!
A Double Flush production.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.